Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
There are two pests bedeviling gardeners right now, gypsy moths and jumping worms. These are two creatures you don't want anywhere near your yard. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it is Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Good day, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, just when you thought it was safe to go in the garden, here comes another problem, the gypsy moth and the jumping worm. Let's focus on the jumping worm to begin with. I'm terrified. Jumping worms?
Yeah, there's definitely an ooh factor here, Laura. And the jumping worm, actually, when I first heard about it, I wasn't sure it was real.
Because it doesn't sound real.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, what's the threat? You know, is this thing jumping into people's line of sight when they're driving down the road causing accidents? You know, oh, my God.
It does sound like
50
sci-fi.
You got Tensis the cat and you got jumping worms. So, but it, really, this thing, this jumping worm first appeared in southeast Wisconsin around 2013. Mm-hmm. It was first discovered by fishermen who had bought some bait at a roadside, bait and tackle type place. There's lots of them around Wisconsin and Michigan, because there's lakes all over the place.
You betcha.
But it's more likely that it hitchhiked in some nursery containers or something like an heirloom that maybe somebody brought from home to the States.
Uh-huh.
Because this jumping worm is exclusive to Asia. It's new.
Very new, yeah.
And it's appeared now in 14 counties in southwest Wisconsin, and I think this is relevant to the scenario, because we're talking Milwaukee to Lake Geneva, to Kenosha, Racine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what's right below that is Chicago, Illinois, in one of the most robust nursery areas of the Midwest.
So they could get in there and get shipped all over the place.
That's right. And, you know, if you're a organic farmer and you are using, worms to improve your soil and stuff, that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's understandable, too, that they would end up in some of the soil mixes and the liners for the plant material you're growing.
So what's the damage that they do?
Well, that's the thing that I think they noticed some damage, and the damage that was noticed was a decline in the development of saplings and other beneficials in the forest. And what happens is this type of worm, it looks a lot like a regular old nightcrawler. It eats the broken leaf debris off of the floor and leaves its castings or its dung, leaves it in return. And you're left with kind of a grainy, depleted soil. It's susceptible also to erosion, because that little bit of crumbs of leaves and things that this worm eats, they break down and turn into useful soil amendments for this developing new replacement growth in the forest. So if you don't have that, you know, you introduce other opportunities for bad things to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Honeysuckle would be a perfect example. Kudzu, if you were down south. But the worm, like I say, it looks a lot like a nightcrawler. Can get up to 8 inches long, and nightcrawlers can get that long also.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of that is fish or that are fishermen or see the nightcrawlers in our garden, we know that they have a band. A nightcrawler has a band,
right,
that goes around its tubular body. And in a nightcrawler's case, it's the same color as the rest of the worm.
But in the jumping worm,
it's white.
Aha! Uh-huh.
It's white, and the name jumping worm comes from the way this worm reacts when it's touched. It just goes freaked. Yeah, it just goes crazy. And
really, because that's how I feel touching a worm.
Well, I thought about it. It's like, you know, you'd have to have a light to bait your hook at night. But anyway, because, it's like avoiding the hook and it's jumping around and all that stuff.
So it's learned.
Yeah, but there's not a whole lot of new information since 2013. It's just that the number of counties that it shows up in has kept growing and growing. So rather than it being a beneficial to the soil like a nightcrawler is, and I promised my dad I would say this, you know, there was a time when the nightcrawlers that were left over from when you go fishing, you would just pour them out on the bank and take the container with you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw them in the water. Throw it on the bank. And then they would create more pliable soil. And you know, there's nothing wrong with throwing them in the water.
But if we get these jumping worms in our garden, what do?
You're supposed to just isolate them, which
means good luck.
Don't share your dirt with anybody.
Okay.
Right? Don't dig up a plant and give, because right now, if you went looking for them, you would probably find them, and they'd be very small.
Okay. All right. You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, dealing with a couple of pests, one of which is the jumping worm, the other of which is the gypsy moth.
The gypsy moth is something that is kind of scary. And if you compare the damage that has occurred to the ash population, and even the ash borer is starting to seek out new genus, new tree flavors,
if you will.
And, you know, what's a big deal about the ash tree was that they were a significant part of the forest in most communities in the Midwest. Some areas up to 15 or 18%. Now, the way that's related to the gypsy moth, which is Limantria, is the genus on that. They were introduced in the 18th century into the U.S. to try and create U.S.'s own silk industry.
Uh-huh.
And it was not successful. And this gypsy moth, it molts 5 or 6 times. I think it's 5 for the male and 6 for the female. And in the molting process, the little caterpillar keeps getting bigger and bigger, and its appetite gets bigger and bigger.
So it's munching on these ash trees.
Well, the gypsy moth, instead of its flavor being ash, it's oak and maple and elm has already taken a beating in the Midwest, and it's even starting to show up in pine and spruce. Pine and spruce, that's particularly bad for the Midwest because pine is one of the only native conifers we have here, white pine. And spruce, they're a wonderfully adaptive plant, but they represent a big part of the needle canopy in the Midwest. But right now, the gypsy moth is most problematic in the Northeast and Southeast Canada.
Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if how do we know? How do we spot this? What's it look like?
So the little caterpillars, the little worms that turn into the moth, they eat the leaves, and they can eat the leaves down to where it looks like there's netting left behind, which is similar to a Japanese beetle. But you can also see that the damage to the leaf has occurred in either a hole been eaten into the center of the leaf, or like when we eat a sandwich where the moth larvae starts on the edge of the leaf and works its way in. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't leave that leaf until it is almost destroyed.
So it is really, really hungry. Is there any way we can treat for this?
There is a way to treat for it. We can apply dormant oil. Dormant oil is a horticultural oil. It's the same thing. It would require multiple applications. So if you had this...
So you got to spray it?
You do. And you would spray this in the late fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you would also do it in the early spring for the third and fourth application. Before the leaves come out.
Oh,
and the
man.
Oil coats the openings in the insect's body or its egg sarcophagi, and it cuts out the oxygen. That's why you need several applications.
Do we have to worry about hurting beneficial insects with this?
It's possible.
Oh.
It's possible. Dormant oil, that's a con to dormant oil. There's not much else you could do. You have a tree that is attacked by the gypsy moth 1 year, and it'll probably survive it. But if you get an infestation and there's eggs and stuff, and the moths keep coming back and the eggs hatch and you get more larvae, the tree could decline and ultimately die because of the defoliating.
So keep your eye out for that.
Indeed.
Okay, thanks so much, Murph, warning us off these horrible pests. Next week on GLT's Grow, Eric in Hudson wants advice for finding native seeds and plants. So Murph's got some ideas about where we can go shopping for that sort of thing.
That's right.
Good, solid, reputable places. Now, if you've got a gardening question for Murph, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is go to our website, fill in the form, and send it along to us. That's wglt.org/grow.